Well, good evening, everyone. As you can see, I'm speaking tonight on the subject of the power of praise. And how fitting that Tom just led that song, Majesty, and I appreciate that. That fits right along with my theme tonight. You know, when I was preparing for this sermon, I was amazed by how many scriptures there are on this subject of praising the Lord. I even contemplated counting them for you, but realized how difficult a task that would be. There are so many scriptures that talk about praising the Lord, whether it be one person praising the Lord, or a group of people, or angelic beings, or maybe someone who was inviting others to join in praise to God. I also realized that since the beginning of time, there have been people praising God, and it has lasted through all the ages, all the way up to today. Even ourselves, we praise God in this assembly and even in our own lives. There's something that has lasted through all of this time. And I believe there's two good reasons for that. One, obviously, is God deserves it. And I think the other is that it is good for us to praise the Lord. It's good for us both spiritually and physically to give praises to God. And so I say to you that there is power in praise. And I would like to look at that this evening. As I mentioned, there are many, many passages on this subject. A lot of them, obviously, will be found in Psalms. And some of them, as I mentioned, are testimonies of personal praise. I've listed a few there for you. I just want to read two of them, the first of which is Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Dropping down to verse 14, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Verse 22, also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded. For they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. The other I'd like to share with you is Psalms 146. Verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. There are other psalms that invite all others to join in this praise. And I'd like to read to you from Psalms 135. I'll put this down. Verse 1 through 3. Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. And also Psalms 147 and verse 1. I would invite you to, on your own home study, to look at Psalms 148. It's a lengthy reading, but we take the song, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, from it. And the psalmist is asking all creatures to praise the Lord. But Psalm chapter 147, verse 1 says, Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is bountiful. One of the things that I hope to glean from this lesson is for us to realize the superiority of praise. I hope that we will find that praise is a better alternative to other things. And I've listed up there three things. That praise is better to praise than to panic. It is better to praise than to be pessimistic. And it is better to praise than to be problem conscious. These are all behaviors or attitudes that we find that are prevalent in society today, and actually always have been. And I think that's exactly how Satan wants it. I believe he wants us to be worrying about things, and I think he wants us to be pessimistic, and I think he wants us to have all our problems on the forefront of our minds. Because it's unhealthy for us. And this is what he wants. He wants us to get away from the better alternative, and that is to praise God under all circumstances. one of my son's favorite movies is Finding Nemo. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. It's interesting. It's a child's movie, and it can be an adult movie as well. Nemo gets captured. If you don't know the movie, he gets captured, and his son, his father Marlin, is looking for him. And Marlin, it's interesting, fits the description that I just gave to you. He's constantly worrying and panicking. He's certainly a pessimistic to the bone, and always worried about a problem, and trying to protect Nemo. And it's funny because he befriends another fish, her name is Dory, and she's the complete opposite. She's optimistic. She's the good in all things. And so throughout this movie, there's that contrast, there's that battle between the two of them, and it culminates at the end when they're both in the whale that's actually trying to help them, and all the water is coming down to the back of the whale, and Marlin says, "Look what you've done. The water is going down. It's half empty." And Dory's response is, "Well, really, it looks half full." And so, you know, he gets aggravated and says, "Well, you saw it." And I see that even in society today, the battle between, optimism and pessimism. It's just a little story that I wanted to share with you. Better to praise than to panic. I think it's very easy to praise the Lord when things are going well. When everything's okay, we have a skip on our step, a smile on our face. We might even say things like, "The Lord is good." It's very easy. But things aren't always good. Things don't always go well. And somehow things get reversed. All of a sudden it's time to worry, time to panic and fret, time to complain and grumble. Praising the Lord sometimes during these times is the last thing on our mind. But I'll suggest to you that it should be the first thing on our mind. We will all have trials in this life. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, that we will have tribulations in this life. He was speaking to his disciples. And of course, they were going to undergo some great tribulation. Such tribulation that none of us will ever have to face. But to a degree, we all have trials and problems in this life. But I wanted to read to you from James, first chapter, and see the proper attitude that we are to have towards trials. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, and verse 12. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." To those who love him. Even in the most difficult times, we can see that there is a purpose to them. It can help us get through them and persevere. But most importantly, I think we have to remember to praise God even under these trying times. There are a lot of things that cause us to panic or to be anxious. I thought of four. You know, when we're sick or when others in our family are sick, sometimes even with serious disease, it can cause us great worry or concern. Sometimes there are problems within our family that cause us anxiety. And of course, money, finances. If we're struggling to make ends meet or pay the mortgage on the first of the month, it can cause great worry, great concern. And also our relationships with other people can cause us problems. I think here, though, that worrying and panicking will only deepen our trouble. In fact, Jesus said not to do it in Matthew chapter 6. And I want us to take comfort in these words. Jesus is speaking in Matthew 6, verse 25 through 27. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So I think, in fact, that worrying can't gain us anything. If anything, it'll only deepen our problems. So how can we praise God at the panic point? Well, as I listed up there, I think, first of all, we have to remember that God loves us. And I really want us to think about this. The death of his Son is proof of his love. While we were yet unworthy, he sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. If we remember that God loves us, even in times of distress, we can still praise God and we can persevere through these. Romans chapter 8 is a valuable passage of scripture that we should include in our Bible studies at home. It will help you get through difficult times. Verses 31 and 32, and then 35 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, praise is the superior thing here. It is the better alternative for us. It is better to praise than to be pessimistic. Pessimism, by definition, is the opposite of faith. Listen to Webster's definition of pessimism. The belief or doctrine that the existing world is the worst possible. The doctrine or belief that the evil in life outweighs the good. The tendency to expect misfortune or the worst outcome in any circumstance. None of that sounds like anything Christian-like. Pessimism is the opposite of faith. It is doubt in action. Pessimism says, I don't believe God. God says that if we love him and trust in him, that he will take care of us. A pessimist says, I don't believe that. But as Christians, we are to live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Equally as important, I think, is that pessimism is dangerous because it can become a way of life. And I'd like to use the Israelites as an example of this. I've listed up there several passages of scripture that talk about the Israelites and their journey in the wilderness and how that each step of the way they would grumble and complain and doubt God. Whether it was water or food or meat. And as a result, in Numbers 14, I want to read to you, this greatly displeased God. When we study the history, the pattern of the Israelites, we see that this had become a way of life for them. They had grumbled and complained all the way. And it grieved the Lord. I think it's Numbers 14, 26 and 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joseph, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in this wilderness. The Israelites serve as an example to us of how doubting and being pessimistic can become a way of life. And it's certainly something that does not please the Lord. Some are natural grumblers, fault finding is their thing. They love to point the finger, find fault in other people, and they are gripers by choice. Jude verse 16. I'll read that to you briefly. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. I believe that praising the Lord is a better alternative than pessimism. It is by far superior. I have to say that the motivation that I have to preach this lesson really came from myself. I'm almost ashamed to confess it, but somewhere along the line I've allowed myself to become pessimistic. It's something that up to tonight, I've allowed happen. I've chosen to be this way for one reason or another. But I'm hoping to fix that. Faith in Christ enables us to see the glass half full. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Okay, finally, it's better to praise than to become, than to be problem conscious. And as I already mentioned before, everybody will have problems in life. Everybody has problems. I think that some will probably have more than others. The world is certainly not perfect, and neither are the people in it. That's including ourselves. So are we going to encounter problems? Sure. Sure we are. But we don't always have to focus on what is wrong. And I think that when situations come where we are in distress, that we can think about the things that we have, the blessings that we have. We often sing a song, Count Your Blessings. And I think that in these times, that's the best thing that we can do, is to count our blessings and praise the Lord. Paul tells us how to overcome faithless pessimism. We all know this passage in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6-8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Paul reiterates some of the points we've already made, that there is no need to worry about anything if we trust in God. and that we should think only of things that are praiseworthy. You know, the apostles, in particular Paul, are great examples on this subject of praising the Lord. They endured so many tribulations and trials, and yet we find through the scriptures that they continued to praise God. And I want to show you an example of this in Acts chapter 16. And I want to focus on the result. Acts 16, I'll start in verse 23 through 25. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. We all are very familiar with this account of Paul and Silas being beaten and thrown into prison and had their feet in stocks, and yet they still praised God. They prayed and praised God. And we may be amazed by this. You may say, how do they do this? I asked that very question when I was preparing for this sermon. And you might have a different answer than me, but the answer that I came up with is that they chose to. I believe that they remembered that God loved them, and I believe that they kept their focus on the crown of life, and despite what they were enduring, they chose to praise God. And that doesn't make light of their situation, their circumstance, in particular Paul, who endured countless beatings and was stoned, was shipwrecked, was starving and cold, and yet through all of that, he still praised God and persevered. So can it be done today? Of course. Of course it can. We can see the good in all things, and we can see that praising God is the superior option, and it can get us through anything. In conclusion, I want to reiterate that praise is powerful, and it can have a deep impact in our lives. It is good for us. It is healthy for us to praise God as opposed to those other options. I'll go ahead and put these all up. As we already pointed out through Paul, in the example of Paul and the apostles, that praise demonstrates faith. That's the opposite of pessimism. Also, I believe that praise opens doors to teach others. And I just want to take a moment to make a point of this. I use myself as a bad example. Let's say that I worry about everything. I'm a pessimist, and I have all problems on my mind. And this is the way that I live my life. And my coworkers can see this in my life. They can see this is how I am. And one day I'm sitting at lunch with one of them, and I tell them, I would like to talk to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the peace of God that surpasses everything. What kind of impact will I have on that person? Probably not good. In fact, he's probably muttering under his breath, I need to talk to you because whatever you're doing isn't working. Remember the example of Paul and Silas? Imagine if they had did something different. Imagine if they were frightened and grumbled and complained about being in prison and worried and fretted. Maybe the result wouldn't be the same, where the jailer and all his household were saved. So I think that praise can open doors to teach others. And I think that's very important. Also, and finally, I wanted to say that praise is eternal. As I already mentioned, that there have been people praising God since the beginning of time. And there will be a time when this life will be over. And those that are in heaven will have no need for things like faith and hope and prayer, because we will be there in heaven. But praise will still be there. Praise is eternal. If we practice praising God here, and then we will praise God for all eternity in heaven. I want to read to you Psalm chapter 150, and then the lesson will be yours. it's kind of fitting that this is the last song in the book. It summarizes the entire book. Listen to these words. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the lute and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise Him with loud cymbals, praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All of us here today, tonight, have something in common, and that is that we have much to be thankful for and much to be praising the Lord about. I hope that if you're here tonight and you have not put on Christ in baptism, that you will sincerely think of doing so. If you are ready tonight to put Christ on in baptism, you can begin a new life in Christ, and you can begin praising God with all of us. I hope that this is your intention as you come forward and we stand.